Good morning, everyone. Welcome to South Haven Christian Church. It's good to see everybody braving the cold this morning. If you're a guest with us today, I hope you got a bulletin from up front for today, and inside is a silent roll call card, a piece of paper like this. Feel free to fill it out and put it in the offering tray as it goes by today, if you would. If you'd all like to stand and join us in singing, We Won't Be Shaken.
This world has nothing for me. This life is not my own. I know you go before me, and I am not alone. This mountain rises higher, the way seems so unclear. But I know that you go with me, so I will never fear. I will trust in you.
We won't.
As you make your way back to your seats, please remain standing. I'd like to read something from God's Word, Psalm 9, 1 and 2. It says, I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. If you'd like to join us in singing, Heaven Came Down.
I wish they all could come true. We got some people we need to pray for. And one is Dale Allen. He's not here this morning. He thought he might be here, but I guess he's not feeling good still. He was pretty sick all this past week, the week before too. And Rick Savage has got an appointment tomorrow, so we pray that everything go well, that see what the doctor says. And we know I was back with us again. Yay. Yeah. Yeah, we miss him when he's not here. Yeah, especially when we sing the birthdays. And Eric is sick at home. He's at home in Lucas. And Donna and Robert, they are sick. So we got a lot of people that's not feeling well. And Karen and Kyle, they're up there in the snow. Yeah, they said that. We don't like to put a snow over there at Minnesota. Okay, so let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we just thank you for your love. Thank you that you give us a chance to be in your house this morning. And we ask you to bless each one that's here, that walking through the doors to come and worship you and thank you. And we know your love is with us, and you are with us all the time, and you know everything going on, everything we say and do. You know it before we say it. So that we ask for forgiveness and ask for guidance and wisdom to do things the best we can. We do pray for these people that we mentioned, the ones that are not feeling well. We do pray for Dale. We miss him this morning. May you and Colleen. So may you be with them and pray that we know that they're getting better, and that's a good news. But continue to ask you to heal them all the way. So maybe next Sunday they'll be with us. And Rick Savage, he's got a couple appointments coming. One is tomorrow. May the doctors will give them a good news. We'll see what they're planning to do next. And so just be with Judy and Rick and I pray that they get some good news from the doctors. And we do pray praise that you was with us at the hospital, and that you help the doctors, guide the doctors and the nurses take care of him. And we just thank you for that, and we're glad that he's back home in your house this morning. And just ask you to protect him, keep him healthy. He don't have to go back to the hospital, because there's it's not very comfortable place like home and church. So just be with Al. And we do pray for Eric and Lucas, as they're not feeling well. Just be with them and help them to get better. Maybe by tomorrow they feel better. And Donna and Robert, we miss them this morning, so we ask you to be with them. And we know they are sick. And when you're sick, you're just miserable and can sleep, can, you know, with things. So just be with them and give them peace and comfort, and pray that the problems they have will go away and they will feel good starting this afternoon. We pray for other ones that are not here this morning. Pray for Karen and Kyle, they're traveling. They're in Minnesota, so just be with them and give them guidance and help them to stay warm and get them back home when the time comes, safe and sound. And we pray for all the ones that are traveling. And we pray for the shut-ins that they can be here this morning, and some of them haven't been here for a long time, for years. So just be with them and help them to just live day by day, that's all we can say, and help them to have a good days, better than, more than bad days. And we thank you that we can come into you and ask for your help. And we ask you to just give us guidance in what we need to do, and so we can follow you closer, the way you want us to. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name we pray.
above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man. You were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth.
A second time here. I Bear with me. My throat might give out on me, so I'm going to do the best I can, okay? I want to read in Luke chapter 9, verse 18, starting with verse 18. This here, Peter declares his faith. And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, "Whom say the people that I am?" And they answering said, "John the Baptist. But some say Elias, and others say that one of the old prophets is risen again." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Peter answering said, "The Christ of God." And he straightly charged them and commanded them and to tell no man that thing. In verse 22, Jesus foretells his death and resurrection, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and the scribes, and be slain and be raised the third day." He said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. But whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same will save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come into his own glory and in his Father's house, and in his Father's, and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there will be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God." The Christian faith goes beyond knowing what others believe. It requires us to hold on to our beliefs for ourselves. He wants us to take a stand. Jesus told his disciples not to tell anyone he was the Christ, because at this point, they didn't fully understand the significance of that statement, nor would anyone else. This was the turning point in Jesus' instruction of his disciples, so they would not need to be surprised when it happened. He explained he would not now be the conquering Messiah, but he first had to suffer, die, and rise again. But one day he would return in great glory to set up his eternal kingdom. Now what we have here is a promise. We have a promise from Christ himself that he will one day take us up to be with him. That's the hope and promise that we have to hang on to. We have to cling on to. We got to keep it in our heart. The disciples back then, they didn't really fully understand like it says here. Jesus, I believe, he just gave them bits and pieces throughout the ministry there. But when the day happened, when he rose again, they understood. And then all the pieces fit back together again. I believe that they just were just overwhelmed that he had risen. What Jesus did for us is a great thing that we can share, we can tell other people about. One day, we will be with him forever and ever. That's our hope and promise. What we do here today, that's in remembrance of him, of his shed blood and his broken body. That's our hope. That's our promise that is given to all Christians, no matter what. As long as we believe on him and have faith in what he did for us. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we come to you today thanking you once again for the hope and promise that you have given us through your Son. And Father, I thank you for everything that you have done for us. You have given us life through him by believing on his name. Christ suffered. He suffered an agonizing death. He knew this was the only way and shed his blood to cover man's sin debt. forever and ever. And Father, I just thank you for everything that you have done for us. And may all the honor and glory go unto you, Father. Because without your Son, we'd be lost forever. That is our hope and our promise that Christ gave to us, that one day he will come back and take us home. And Father, I thank you, for I ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Father, we know every good and perfect gift comes from you, and any ability that we've ever had to go and earn something for ourselves came from you. We thank you so much. Offer this prayer in your Son's name. Amen.
Beaten, you have rescued me, singing out, Jesus is. You have your Bibles with you this morning. I invite you to turn with me to the third book of our New Testaments, the Gospel according to Luke. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 22, and we're going to be looking at a few verses here in just a few moments. Several other scriptures will be up on our screen. You can follow along there if you wish. 2 weeks ago, I started kind of a little series called The Party, and then I took a break or a detour last week because of the special event, or the special date, I guess, on the sanctity of human life. And again, I hope that if you were here on that Sunday last week, that things that were said and encouraged will resonate all year long, because this battle, I think particularly this year, is in the forefront. It's a lot of times it's on the back burner and doesn't seem to be even alive, but I think this year it's more alive than ever. And I hope that we are praying for the unborn, praying for people to step in the gap, to step up and to stand in the gap for individuals that cannot protect themselves. May we do it. May we do our best. And I think God will honor us for our efforts. So let's continue the party as we started 2 weeks ago. I would like to begin today by saying not all celebrations, and again, think of parties if you will, not all celebrations are loud and noisy occasions. In fact, some celebrations are quiet and reflective. On the Thursday night before Jesus was crucified, he was celebrating the Passover feast, which was, in the Jewish way of looking, a party of sorts. They were celebrating the Passover, he was, with his disciples. On this occasion, I think it was a very quiet and reflective celebration. The Passover, just as a reminder again, was a Jewish festival, a party, if you will, that was held in the spring of every year to celebrate Israel's deliverance from Egyptian captivity. The Israelites were enslaved in Egypt for over 400 years, and God wanted them released, and so he sent Moses to Pharaoh. And we learn in Exodus chapter 5, verse 1, as Moses goes to Pharaoh, he says, "Let my people go, so that they may hold a festival to me in the desert." Interesting. "So that they may hold a festival to me." Talking about God now in the desert. In other words, God wanted his people to throw a party in the desert after they were released from Egyptian bondage. God is not opposed to parties. God's not opposed to celebrations. But I would say our God loves celebrating things that truly matter in life. The Pharaoh, on this particular occasion, refused to let the Israelites go, and so God sent the 10 plagues upon Egypt. When you read that story from beginning to end, it's interesting to see that Pharaoh endured through each plague. You would think he would have crumbled, fell prey to the damage and to the embarrassment that those plagues were bringing upon Egypt. But he held his ground. He would not let the Israelites go until the last one. It was the 10th one that took its toll upon Pharaoh and all the land of Egypt. The 10th plague was known as the death of the firstborn plague that would take place in each household. Now, to prepare the Israelites for this event, God told them at midnight he was going to go through the land, and every firstborn son of every Egyptian, and you may not remember this part of the story, and every firstborn Israelite would die. The firstborn, as well as the firstborn of all cattle. Now, those are two facts that most people forget. They think that the plague was only upon the Egyptians, that it would fall upon the Israelites as well as the firstborn of cattle. God told the Israelites that they could, though, here it comes, God told them that they could save their firstborn, but they had to do something very specific and deliberate. He told them that they would have to get a one-year-old male lamb that was without defect. And then on the 14th day of the month, they were to slaughter the lambs at twilight. They were supposed to then take some of the blood and put it on the sides and the top of the door frames of the houses where those lambs would have been eaten. On that same night, then God passed through Egypt and struck down the firstborn as an act of judgment upon Egypt and Pharaoh. He passed over, thus the Passover, he passed over the houses where he saw the blood, and the firstborn of that house was spared. God commanded the Israelites to celebrate on that night when they were being delivered by the blood of the Lamb. And that was what Jesus was doing with his disciples on this Thursday evening in the upper room. Now, as that as our backdrop, let's now read our text, Luke chapter 22, and I'm beginning with verse 7. Many times we only read the end of this passage, but I'm going to read the whole context. It's important to see it, beginning in verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb was to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare for it?" they asked. He replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters, and say to the owner of that house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large upper room, all furnished. Make preparations there." They left and found things just as Jesus had told them, and so they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." Each Sunday, like the first century Christians, we take communion here in this congregation to remember that, like the Israelites of Egypt, we have been delivered by the blood of a Passover lamb, which, of course, for us, is Jesus himself. Think about the similarities here. The Passover lamb had to be perfect to do what it did back in the day of Moses. It had to be perfect, and Jesus was perfect, sinless for us. The Passover lamb had to die. Jesus died. The blood of the Passover lamb delivered the people from certain death, as that blood was put on the door sides of the doorpost and over at the header of the door. The blood of Jesus delivers us from certain spiritual death. And thus our communion service this morning, I believe, for most, was a quiet and reflective celebration of our deliverance from our bondage to sin. But what we have been delivered from, and I put emphasis on that word from, what we have been delivered from may be the more important question that we need to focus on here this morning. You see, because of the blood of Jesus, we have been delivered, I think, from many things. But I would like to just share two of these things with you this morning. And I believe that they are at the top of the list. First of all, we have been delivered from sin. On September 13th, 1987, two unemployed young men in search of a fast buck entered a partially demolished radiation clinic in a small town in Brazil. They removed a canister from a cancer therapy machine and sold it to a junk dealer for $25. Inside the canister was a white powder that emitted a blue light. The dealer took the canister home and let his family take some of the white powder out of that container. His niece rubbed it all over her body while the family remarked how beautiful she looked with a blue glow. The little girl, however, did not know that she was rubbing on cesium 137, a highly radioactive dust, all over her body at that moment. And of course, it did not take long for this girl to die, as well as many other family members that came in contact with that dust. More than 200 people in that small little community were contaminated. The junk dealer's niece was not the only child who rubbed that glitter all over her body. Others did as well. And I want you to think of all those children and how they died by putting on something that was both beautiful and deadly at the same time. And is not sin like that for most of us? What is sin, you ask? It's disobeying God. The Bible says it's missing the mark. It's living according to the standards of the world. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And I put emphasis on that word all. For all. All's all-encompassing. A preacher one day rode his bicycle to see one of his members, and as he was riding, he came upon a little boy trying to sell a lawnmower. "How much do you want for the mower?" asked the preacher. "I just want enough money to go out and buy me a bicycle," said the little boy. After a moment of consideration, the preacher then asked, "Will you take my bike and trade for the mower?" And the little boy asked if he could try it out first, and after riding the bike around for a little while, he said, "Mister, you've got a deal." The preacher took the mower and began to try to crank it. He pulled on the rope a few times with no response from the mower. The preacher called the little boy over and said, I can't get this mower started. And the little boy says, well, that's because you have to cuss at it to get it started. And the preacher says, well, I'm a minister, and I can't cuss. It's been so long since I've been saved, I don't even remember how to cuss. And the little boy looked right at him with a big smile on his face, and he says, you just keep on pulling on that string right there, and I guarantee you, I'll come back to you real soon. Oh, man. More of the story. Folks, preachers sin. Elders sin. Members sin. We all sin. That's why that little word all is in there. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that's what Paul was trying to tell the Christians at Rome. You are all sinners. But it doesn't mean it's okay. Sin is not okay. And in fact, Paul goes on to tell the Christians at Rome that they must stop sinning altogether. Look at Romans 6:1. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may abound? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? In other words, Paul is saying that if you want to stop sinning, you can, believe it or not, with God's help. But the real question is, do you really want to stop sinning? And that's the real issue, isn't it? There was this man who had a parrot, and like a lot of parrots, this parrot cussed like a sailor. He could swear for 5 minutes straight without ever repeating himself. The trouble is that this guy who owned the parrot was a quiet, conservative type, and this bird's foul mouth was just driving him crazy. One day, it gets to be just a little much, and so the guy grabs the bird by the throat, shakes him really hard, and yells, "Quit it." But this just makes the bird madder, and he swears all the more. And then the guy gets mad again and says, "That's it, I'll get you," and he locks the bird in the kitchen cabinet. This really aggravates the bird, and he claws and he scratches, and then the guy finally lets him out, and as the bird comes out, he cuts loose with a stream of cuss words that would even make a veteran sailor blush. At this point, the guy is so mad and upset that he just throws that bird right into the freezer. And for the first few seconds, there is a lot of terrible sounds going on. The bird obviously is kicking and clawing and thrashing about in that freezer. But then it suddenly goes quiet. At first, the guy just waits, but then he starts to think, well, maybe the bird may be hurt. Maybe something has fallen on him. And after a couple of minutes of silence, he's so worried that he opens up the freezer door. And the bird calmly climbs onto the man's outstretched arm and says, "Awful sorry about the trouble I've given you. I'll do my best to improve my vocabulary from now on." The owner is astonished. He can't believe or understand the transformation that has come over that parrot. And then the parrot says, "Oh, and by the way, what did that chicken do in there?" Oh, yes. Folks, God shouldn't have to throw us into the freezer. That's the point. He should not have to throw us into a freezer to get us to behave. We can control ourselves with God's help, but we must want to do it for it to be effective. If you are a Christian who is sinning, you must go to God, you must repent of your sins, and you must ask Him to forgive you. And it'll be gone. You say, "Really?" Yes. Look at 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. There it is, God's help. And why is God able to forgive us of our sins, you might ask? Answer, because of Christ shed blood. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 and following says, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. But now he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Pretty clear, don't you think? Yes, because of the death of Jesus, the breaking of his body, the shedding of his blood, you and I have been delivered from the penalty of sin. Don't know about you, but that sounds like something that can be celebrated. But there is a second thing that we must look at here this morning, a second thing that we are delivered from, and that is we have been delivered from death. Woody Allen once said, I'm not afraid to die, I just don't want to be there when it happens. Yeah, neither do I. The fact is, though, that death is as unavoidable as it is frightening. Paul tells the Christians at Rome in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, because we have sinned, we deserve to be separated from God for all of eternity. We don't deserve to go to heaven, not a one of us. We're all sinners. But once again, God says that the sacrifice of my son Jesus sets you free from death. That is why God can declare you righteous. How righteous? 100% righteous. Not because of anything that you've done, but because of what Christ did for you. He paid the price. He was the sacrificial lamb. Notice what Paul says in Romans 8, 1 and 2. You know, we read a lot about Paul in Romans 6, but we don't seem to always get over to chapter 8. Chapter 8. 1 and 2. Therefore, Paul says, there is now no condemnation. That's judgment. That's hell judgment. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. There it is. Before visiting my father's grave, writes Mr. McKay, we stopped to pick up some flowers. My young nephew asked if he could pick out a helium bloom instead of a flower. And permission was granted, and he ran off as he browsed through the floral shop to find one that he thought would fit. When the boy reappeared with a big silver balloon, no one had the heart to challenge his selection. But I do wonder what other visitors thought that day when they passed my father's grave, adorned with a balloon saying, "Get well soon. Get well soon." And do you realize that at the point of death for all Christians, because of Christ's sacrifice, we will all get well soon? Yes. My mother, who passed away many years ago because of cancer, I believe is alive and well in the presence of her Lord. She got well. Been sick lately? Seems like we have a lot of that in these COVID days. Aren't there times in your life when you have just wished you could just get well soon? In those times, we need to remember that because of Jesus' sacrifice there on the cross, we will all one day get well soon. Now, folks, that's something I think that needs to be celebrated. And God's provided a moment, I believe, in every service for us to do just that as we come around this table. Yes, we have all been delivered from sin and death if we are Christians here today. Let me close with this illustration here today. Just past 9 a.m. on September 11th, 2001, the vice president of Fuji Bank was in his office in the South Tower of the World Trade Center. And it was at 9 a.m. that his phone rang. He answered it. "Are you watching the news?" asked a woman in the Chicago office. "Are you all right, sir?" "I'm fine," he says, wondering why she would call. Just then he turned to gaze out the window at the Statue of Liberty, as had been his routine. The horrifying sight of a low-flying commercial jetliner heading straight for his tower disrupted his view. He dropped the phone in mid-sentence. Dove to the floor, curling up under his desk, he began praying to God. "Lord, help me," he prayed desperately as the aircraft smashed into that tower. The smell of jet fuel in the air, equipments scattered all around, rubble covering the floor, dust in the air. He began clawing across mounds of debris. "Lord, I have to go home to my family." "I have to see my daughters again." And just then he saw a light. "I'm here to help you," said a voice. Could not see anyone because of the thick cloud that was there. Stanley thought, "This must be my guardian angel. The Lord sent somebody to help me." Turned out that Stanley's guardian angel was Brian Clark, a Christian who was an executive three floors below. And the two of them miraculously climbed out of that rubble that day and, believe it or not, got to safety. Stanley stated later, "My Lord has some unfinished business for me to do, I believe. I took the tattered clothes I was wearing that day, I put them in a box, and I wrote deliverance all over that box." And then I told my wife, "If I ever get spiritually cold, ever, if I ever stop thanking God for life, I want you to bring that box to me, open it up, and show me what the Lord brought me from." the blood that was applied to the Israelites' doorframe may have looked like a mess to the Egyptians, but that doorframe had deliverance written all over it. The blood that flowed down the cross as Jesus died may have looked like a mess to the Roman soldiers that day that were executing him. But that cross had deliverance written all over it. The blood that God applied to my own life in 1967 may have looked like a mess to a lot of people, but for me, it had deliverance written all over it. And from that day, June 19th, 1967, I have been celebrating my deliverance from sin and death each Lord's Day without fail to remember. My deliverance from my bondage to sin. I do not understand, or can I comprehend, how people can take communion so lightly. Think that in some way that it's some kind of afterthought, or maybe some nice little thing to do once a year or once a quarter, or just whenever they think about it, which for many is not often anymore. When you understand it was Jesus who instituted this table and asked us to remember, do this in remembrance of me. There is deliverance written all over that table. And people want to park it in the side room. Others want to throw it away. Oh, we don't have time for communion anymore. Takes up too much of our service. Unbelievable. People choosing to not be reminded. Why? It's all about us. It's all about what God did for us. Why don't we want to be reminded of our deliverance? Preacher, we only take communion once a year, once a quarter. Why do you do it every week? Well, we do it because that seems like what the Christians did in the first century. Looked like they thought maybe a weekly reminder of deliverance was maybe something we needed in our life. I don't know about you, but I need it. I get way too busy. And there are periods of time in my life that I need someone to bring out the box or the table. And I need to be reminded once again what I have been saved from. Oh yes, I can see the sacrifice and I know Jesus did it. But do we think about what we have been saved from? Yeah. Let's not take it lightly. I never have. And I've told you this, and I don't keep on telling you this to pat me on the back, but in 1967, as a little boy, who got saved. Even then I knew being around this table was something that God wanted me to do. And there wasn't a whole lot a little boy, 8-year-old boy in a church could do in my generation except come to church and play games. Go to Sunday school, have fun. But I knew after I got saved, I could do one thing that would mean a lot to God. I think it would bring a smile to His face. And so I just simply made a promise. As a little boy, God, I remember it like yesterday. God, as far as it depends on me, I'll never miss a Sunday being around your table. Ever. Oh, you had to be sick on one of those Sundays, someone would say. Well, you had to go on vacation. Can't be around the Lord's table on vacation. Oh, yeah, you can. I didn't go on vacation as much as I should have, but let me tell you, the few times I did, I always researched it. Always made sure I was somewhere on a Sunday where there was a church where they offered communion. Because I made a promise. As far as it depends on me, God, I will never miss being at your table on a Sunday. I've lost track of the years, but I know it's over 50 years. And I've never missed a Sunday. Some of you pray for my good health. Thank you very much. But I don't think it's that prayer that God answers. I think He's answering a promise. And folks, as I say that, I'm not telling anybody that they have to make a promise. I did. God's honored that promise. I've honored Him. But I just want you to see how important communion is. For us to remember to never forget. God never wanted the Jews to forget their 400 years in Egyptian bondage. And I'm convinced He does not want us to ever forget our deliverance from sin bondage. And we're 2,000 years removed from the time when we were set free. But I do think it takes just a little bit of forethought. When you're on your way to church, do you ever think, I can't wait for communion to come? Or is it just a blimp on the worship service of the day? I don't know. But it's my highlight. It's the most important thing. I think God is honored with all of it, but I just think that when we go back and we remember the perfect Lamb that was sacrificed for us, I just feel that He is so honored that You took the time to not forget. It cost You nothing. It cost me everything to save you. As we come to our time of invitation, the question's being asked, what about your life here today? Invitation is all about trying to answer that. If you're not a Christian and you've studied long enough or been in this church long enough to know who we are and what we believe and where we're heading, and you sense in your life that I'm missing something and you want to make Jesus Lord of your life, you can do that today. Why not? Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. I've already shared with you over and over again all the examples of people being saved. The morning they got up, they had no idea by the end of the day they'd be saved. But they were. You don't need to know the whole Bible to be saved. You just need to know who Jesus is. You need to know who the sacrificial Lamb is. You got to understand what He has done for you. Yes. You got to understand that He was buried for your sins, that He was resurrected to a new life. And so can you. If you need to make that kind of decision here today, why not come as we stand and sing our hymn of decision?
Yeah.
Good to have you here today. Good to have a few guests with us. Good to have some snowbirds back with us. The Stills. Some of you probably don't remember the Stills.
It's been what?
2 years.
Almost 2 years since
they've been here. Just like last year, though, to me. But it's been 2 years since they've been here. But they are here for the winter. You know, the day they arrived, they were serving some. Do you think they brought some with them?
Yeah,
I'm going to blame them because it was warm up to the day they came. And it's been cold ever since you've been here. You ought to feel at home right now, you know, with this cold weather. But better days are ahead. It's going to warm up, and that's the good thing. That's why we live in Florida. We can endure for a few days, and the sun comes back out. And I love that. And that's a good thing. But we're glad to have them, and several others with us here today. Thank you for coming and sharing with us. In your bulletins, you got all the announcements. We just made a major change because we made a major mistake, I guess. Super Bowl in years past has always fallen on the first Sunday in February. But not this year. I didn't notice the change. I didn't know about the change, but it's on the second Sunday in February. So we had already gone ahead and planned what we always do every year. We just have our leaders of the ministries will be announced the Sunday that the meeting takes place. But we moved that from the second Sunday, which is what's been advertised, back to the first. There's just way too much going on that second Sunday, and it was never planned to be that. We thought the Super Bowl was the first Sunday, we take the second Sunday. Only because there's lots of things going on. Whether people watch football or not, they go to parties, they celebrate, they have some fun that evening, and spend time with family and friends. So we don't want to interrupt that. So anyway, the leadership introduction of all new ministries will be next Sunday at 5 o'clock. Will be our kickoff meeting. Now, again, this is not for the members of those teams. It's for the leaders of those teams. And you will know if you're a leader next Sunday when your name's being announced. Okay? So just know that that's coming next Sunday. Next Sunday. Now, the following Sunday, not to lose sight of it, yes, right? We are still having a mystery dinner right after the morning service. And don't ask what the mystery is, because if we share the mystery, then all of a sudden, it's not a mystery anymore. It's just a dinner. We want it to be a mystery dinner. All right, some of you have been to mystery dinners. You know, even though you know the mystery, it's still a mystery. But it's better not to know to really enjoy the whole mystery. So just realize that in 2 weeks, we will have that dinner right after the morning service. Come out for that mystery dinner, and you ought to be pumped and ready for the Super Bowl evening activities. Okay? You may not even need as many snacks. Does that sound too much? No. You may not need as many snacks if you come to the mystery dinner.
Hi, Jerry. Are we supposed to bring something to the mystery dinner?
Not that I'm aware of. That's a mystery right there to yourself, right there. We don't have to bring anything. Isn't that something? Figure that one out. That's still a mystery in my brain, you know, because I always thought we brought something to a dinner, but not this one. All right, what else? What else is going on? This Friday? All right, movie on this Friday. Actually, I picked up the wrong bulletin. And so this Friday at what, 7 o'clock?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock is the movie on Friday, so you'll keep that in mind if you will. Do we have any anniversaries or birthdays? I want to recognize an anniversary, even though the couple is not here.
Isn't your mom and dad having an anniversary this week?
Was it last week? Did we celebrate it last week?
No, we did.
I don't think we did. Did we?
How many years did your mom live?
73 years.
That's not how old they are. That's how long they've been married.
73 years.
Don't get confused. 73 years together. I don't know if I've known a couple married for 73 years. That's a long time, and they're still alive and well, as far as we know. And so, again, if we did recognize that, I'm just thinking we didn't say much, and I wanted to say something. Any other anniversaries though this week? Anyone wants to claim? No? Going once? Going twice? Any birthdays? No? None? All right. We got birthdays of people that are not here. I know that. But I didn't know if there's anybody here that we can celebrate. See, I wanted to hear Al, you see. Should we just sing happy birthday so we can hear Al? Yeah, let's do that. You know, Al's back with us. We got to see if he's still in full swing of things. All right, so happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you all. Happy birthday to you. All right, we just wanted to give him a test run there, you know, because when the real thing comes, we don't want him to have a break in the voice, you know, a crack in the voice. You know, he's been away from us for, almost 2 weeks, I think. And so it's good to see him back, and I hope he's back in full swing. But if not, he's here, and he's getting stronger every day. Yes. All right, so if you've never had an opportunity to go to the website, it works. And occasionally there's a bug or two that you got to kind of work with and live with. Sometimes you lose a little voice sound, but hopefully it's not the whole service and that you can still be very much a part of that. So keep that in mind if you will. All right, any other announcements that we need to make here today before we're dismissed? Yes. Okay. Even though it wasn't working during the service, it was still being taped and it's still available. All right, so for afterwards, you can certainly tell people about it. I think I saw it, if you still don't have the app, I think the two scan codes, if you got an Android or an Apple and you want to get the right scan code, all you do is scan that thing and bam, you got the app. It's that quick. And that way you can not only see the service on Sunday, but there's several other modules that are active. You know, a prayer wall, I think, if you want to put a prayer request on online, and events calendar, I believe. So anyway, check it out. Giving, I know giving, some of you have been able to give through the app, and that's becoming more and more popular as well. All right, if there's nothing else here today, let's stand and we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this beautiful Lord's Day, this opportunity to be here in your house with your people and around your table. Thank you, Father, for sending the perfect sacrificial lamb into the world. We thank you he was willing to shed his blood and die for us so that we can leave here today with the knowledge that we will be living forever with you in heaven. And we thank you for that. Give us strength, give us power to do what you want us to do. say no to sin and yes to your son Jesus. Help us to stand strong and tall, Father. Let our lights shine brightly for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's close with this closing chorus.